Let's open to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's start reading in verse number 20. John chapter 8 and verse number 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak the words, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I do nothing of myself, that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's stop here for this morning. Last time we got together, we did read the entire passage to underscore a point, but this morning let's confine our discussion to what he says in the 31st verse here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue. Now we started on that thought last time we got together, but we want to look at a couple more things here, because as has been pointed out, what is taking place here is that these Jews have a passing or fleeting impression of the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but they have no depth of earth within themselves, as the parable of the sower tells us. And so the word takes root and it begins to germinate, but then it very quickly fades away because it has no depth of earth here. So what does this mean? Many believed on him. As we pointed out before, the actual root word for believe here is the word that is translated faith in other places, or a derivative of the word that's translated faith in other places. So there are a number of kinds of faith in the scripture. There's saving faith, and there's a number of other kinds of faith. And it's obvious from what takes place later in the chapter that this is not saving faith. So, let's take a look at a couple of things here that I think are very important. And since we've talked about the parable of the sower a few times, let's actually today go back and take a look and see what is said there. And let's start in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower and the Lord's explanation of the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13. Let's just start in verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Notice that he's speaking unto them in parables. We've spoken of that and what the mechanism of the parable was to be before, as Isaiah the prophet had pointed out. Verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and delivered them up. Now remember, we're reading this in the context of John chapter 8. Verse number 5. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, can you see the spiritual parallels here? What's going on in John chapter 8? What do you think is most connected out of what we just read with John chapter 8? Mm-hmm. They fell in stony places. Verse number 5. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Well, let's make this parable walk on all fours if we can. Some fell among stony places. Now, we're relating this, of course, to what we're seeing in John chapter 8. What would the stony places be in John chapter 8, since the parable was designed to convey spiritual truth to those that could understand it? What's the Lord saying here?
There was a little bit of earth in between the stones, so intellectually they could have gotten some of what he was saying.
Okay, that's true. I think we've all seen that happen. A little dust will blow into a crack in the sidewalk, and what happens? Yeah, a weed will take root and grow up. Well, they usually don't last very long, do they? But back to the stony places. Some fell among stony places. Is there some parallel here, a spiritual parallel, with what we see in John chapter 8?
If we look at what they witnessed, and they saw the whole discourse with the lady taken in adultery, and then what Christ had said to the others, and they left, and these remained.
Yes.
And it seems like from that they saw his knowledge, and so they believed that he was the Messiah. But then what's very interesting is in here it talks about the sun reaching them and scorching them. And in chapter 8, the sun reached them and scorched them too with the truth.
Yeah. Very good.
And they couldn't handle it.
Yeah. But we're talking about why? Cause and effect. You pointed out the effect, but what about the cause? These stony places.
Well, that's their
hearts. Yes, their hearts. Stony places. Well, let's follow that thought up just a little bit, shall we? Where they had not much earth. Stony places, their hearts. Where they had not much earth. Yeah, but see, that's almost a paradox, isn't it? Who's he talking to in John chapter 8? The Jews? Well, you rightly pointed out they had plenty of religion.
But that's the problem. It was religion. It wasn't.
That's true, but what was their religion built on?
What they did.
They built sandcastles, but they built it on.
Nutrients and for the weeds or the growing things, it also provides protection because it keeps the moisture in so they can continue to grow. But they didn't have anything like that.
Okay, but what should they have had in John chapter 8 where they had not much earth here in the parable? What? Yes, they had the scripture. Unto them were committed the oracles of God. So this isn't like the foolish man that built his house on the sand. This is a foolish man that builds a sand castle on top of a rock. Pause to let that sink in. That's what religion is. It's sand castles. Well, they built their sandcastles on top of the rock, the Word of God. Okay. Where they had not much earth. Oh, they had a surface knowledge of the Scripture, but how deep was it? It had no depth of earth at all. And forthwith, they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Notice the connection here. The word because. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now Jesus is using something that people in his day would have understood immediately, or any gardener today would understand. Okay. Too fast.
No root.
No root. Do you think it might have just been a fleeting impression which they grabbed hold of wholeheartedly? But it couldn't stand the test because there was no depth of earth there? And we don't need to finish it because Brother Rod has already pointed out what happens. It couldn't stay because verse number 6, when the sun was up, they were scorched. Where do we see that in John chapter 8? Yeah, we see the sun there, the sun of righteousness. And he begins to tell them, I'm going to tell you the truth about this. And what was the truth that they turned at and would not abide by? Hold your finger here and let's go back. Verse number 31 again, John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How do they answer? We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How foolish. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They were expecting a political answer, don't you think? This is the answer that Jesus gives them. Verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. What kind of an answer was that? It was certainly one they didn't want to hear, because now he's put his finger on the sore spot. It's always the sin issue. Oh, we have always been free because we're the children of Abraham. Well, that wasn't even true in the political realm.
They weren't even free standing there.
Certainly they weren't. But now Jesus points out what the real problem is. And why were they not politically free? Why were the Roman guidons set up in front of the temple?
Because they weren't following what God had told them to do to begin with. So.
You mean that Roman occupation was a result of something?
Yeah.
Like what?
Their disobedience.
Of course, their disobedience to God, because they refused to keep his laws. They drew near unto him with their lips, but their heart was far from him, and now the sun has come up, and these little seedlings that have sprung up here, those Jews that believed on the Lord Jesus, as soon as they hear what their problem is, what happens? They're scorched. There's no depth of earth. Was there really a depth of earth that they could have had? Sure. They had the scrolls in their synagogues, didn't they? Do you think Isaiah 53 was in those scrolls if they had just cared to look? Why do you suppose Isaiah 53 was known as the forbidden chapter? Well, actually, that's in the book of Daniel, but there's something else in Isaiah 53. He was bruised for whose iniquities? Yes, they would not admit that they were sinners. That's been mankind's problem since the Garden of Eden. Absolutely. He was bruised for our iniquities, but with his stripes we are healed. Were they willing to accept that? If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. He did say that, didn't he? Yes, we want to be free, but not at that price. Let's go back to the parable again, because there's more here that I think we should take a look at. Excuse me. Let's drop down to verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. But gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus here is carrying out the word of God in his earthly ministry. He's speaking to them in parables, and he's speaking some very deep truths. Now, when you look in the book of Exodus, there is a saying that goes on and on, which leads to problems. Who comes up out of Egypt with Moses? Let's start there. Who is it that comes up out of Egypt with Moses? Well, I'm talking about classes of people, not specific people. Well, just they alone?
I mean, the entire Hebrew nation.
Okay. Again?
I'm sticking with my answer.
Yeah?
It's a Hebrew wedding.
The scripture uses the term a mixed multitude. A mixed multitude came up out of the land of Egypt with Moses.
So could that have been like their servants?
It's possible. Strangers that were within their gates, it's possible. But, yeah, they were the servants. That also is true. So, in what context could you say that a mixed multitude came up out of the land of Egypt? And don't you dare think about the parables that we just read.
Those who believed and those who didn't.
Well, sure. Absolutely. What did the children of Israel constantly do that so vexed Moses? They murmured. What were they murmuring against? God had to remind Moses of this. Yeah, they're not murmuring against you, Moses. They're murmuring against me. A mixed multitude. Now, the scripture says specifically that the children of Israel were doing these things. So you can't say, well, it was just the Egyptians that came up out of the land of Egypt. Some Egyptian hangers-on, if you will, some strap hangers along for the ride. No, the scripture says pretty clearly that it was the children of Israel that murmured against the Lord. A mixed multitude. And what was the result of their influence? It somebody just had to say it. I knew it was out there, and it would come back to bite me. All right. That's true. They got 40 days of promise. Well, what's the problem with the promise? Did these murmurers actually have any faith in God? No, they certainly didn't. And were there any inducements to their faith?
Well, they had manna, but is that what you're talking about? God cared for them.
He did. He gave them manna. Are there other inducements to faith?
The cloud that followed.
Okay, the cloud by day and
the water didn't come.
Okay. They drove the poor man too far on that one, didn't they? The meekest man on the face of the earth. What else?
Fire by night.
Yeah, the pillar of fire by night. Okay, they saw the grapes of Eshcol. Their garments didn't wear out. Well, Moses did by himself. But we're talking about this whole multitude. Were there any inducements to faith? You know, faith is not foolishness. Now, blind faith is foolish, but it's always shown for what it is, isn't it? What about the fact that they'd crossed the Red Sea? They saw miracle after miracle. Is there any parallel between that and Jesus' ministry up to John chapter 8? They saw miracle after miracle. Then they would murmur, of course. Did the miracles do any good? No, there just wasn't any depth of earth there. A mixed multitude comes up out of the land of Egypt. Do you think there's still a mixed multitude in Jesus' day? Of course, and that brings us back to verse number 24, these kingdom of heaven parables. Verse number 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, they brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From thence hath it tares. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together under the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Jesus explains this, and I think we spent maybe 2 or 3 weeks on the kingdom of heaven parables, and so we won't go back and revisit that. But Jesus explains this parable, but we don't need the explanation because we already know what the explanation is. So let's go back to this good seed in verse number 24. What's the field, and what's the good seed?
Well, the field are people. It's the human race.
The field is the world here. Now, we're going to get a little bit more specific than that in John chapter 8. It's a part of the world here. The interesting thing is it seems like the seed has taken root more effectively in other parts of the world. What's the good seed? The Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Where was it sowed? In the world. Verse number 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse number 28, an enemy hath done this. How did the mixed multitude get mixed?
The enemy.
Of course. Of course, the enemy of souls. Right amongst the children of Israel, there were those who were whose agents? Satan's agents. Did he sow good seed in the field? Of course. But what happens? An enemy comes. When's the first evidence?
Well,
Of course, when they grow, then the tares appear also. When we think about John chapter 8 and wheat and tares, and we're sitting in the treasury looking around, what do we see?
We see some who believe and we see others who are self-righteous.
Yes! The disciples of Jesus were there with him. They sure were. And by the way, do you suppose some of those that believed on him actually believed in the saving of their souls? Of course. Do you suppose they were the ones that said, say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? No. By the way, do you suppose the same thing could possibly happen in churchianity? Certainly could. Verse number 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. How did they know the difference between the wheat and the tares? Actually, they look from the outside so similar that you can't... Pardon? Yes! That's the thing. You can't tell at first. And they're so thoroughly mixed in with the wheat that if you attempt to pull the tares up, you end up uprooting the wheat as well. So, what's the answer here?
Leave everything alone.
Just leave it alone. Does God say himself, I'll take care of it in the end? I'll separate the wheat and the tares? But we have... Pardon?
Each one.
Yes, it proves itself by what fruit it brings forth. Remember the last... parable? Yes. Some fell in good ground and began to bring forth fruit. What do you suppose the good ground was? The Word of God. Yet it begins to bring forth fruit. Absolutely. An enemy hath done this. Verse number 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The reapers and the servants of the householder. What's the difference? Who are the reapers here? If you were to read Jesus' explanation... Am I testing to see what we remember from the Kingdom of Heaven parables? I know I only took a few weeks to do that. What did you say, Mom?
Oh, I said that we witnessed Jesus.
The reapers are the angels. Who do you suppose the servants of the householder are here? Maybe those that believed on Jesus to the saving of the soul? What's he saying to them? You're not wise enough to be able to root out the tares? Just leave them alone, and you bring forth fruit, and they'll bring forth their evil fruit, and my reapers will know the difference, and they'll take care of it. But we have a lot of spiritual fruit inspectors about these days, don't we? Who think that they know how to discern which ones are real and which ones aren't, and we've got to root out the ones that aren't. Do you think if it's that obvious, you'd have to root them out? They'll root themselves out. But do you suppose those that are so carefully disguised among the wheat that even the householders can't tell the difference? You might have to leave it in the hands of the reapers. Am I saying that we shouldn't judge? No, we should. But what did the Lord say? But if you judge, do what? judge righteous judgment. He doesn't say not to judge. He says, if you judge, judge righteous judgment. Okay, back to our text for this morning. Verse number 31 again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And we've already covered that, the continuance in the word. And by the way, how do they continue in his word?
Well, at this point, it would have meant to follow him.
Okay, but where did they get what it took to follow him?
John and several other places in this particular epistle says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
But by what power did they keep his commandments? Even the holiest of the children of Israel had never kept his commandments. It goes back to early in the book of John. Go ahead, brother.
I was going to say willpower at this point because they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Actually, there's more to it than that. They were not yet indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is inactive.
But they had Jesus was
there. That's true. So, how did that relate to their continuance in the Word? It's back in the early part, and we read it, I think, last week or maybe the week before.
Or 24 guys of Spirit?
No. Yes, but how do they do that? Where do they get the strength to do that? Yes, the Father's drawn them.
Well, wouldn't they be praying?
Well, yes. Prayer is involved, sure. Yes. Even though the Holy Spirit was on David and not in him, the Holy Spirit is active here. Yeah, you're getting there. What did they get? As many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to do what? Even to as many as? Yes, he gave them the power to become the sons of God because they believed on his name, saving faith. This is how they continued. The day of Pentecost has not yet come, but how did David continue? He did, you know. How did Abraham continue? He did. How did Noah continue? He did. And this is all before the day of Pentecost. Pardon? Yes, faith. But in response to the faith, what does the Lord do? He gives them power to continue. Certainly not the world that gives power to continue. Let's pray.